Not very often anymore that Kevin and I sit down, just the two of us, and hash out a podcast. This one was fun. We talk about some interesting moments from the recent George Kittle podcast on Bussin' with the Boys, a couple new big recruits for the Hawkeyes, Docterman's latest article on KF, how Kevin would split $20 million, and a few other fun conversations as well. You know what it is. Sit back, relax. Let's have a day. Let's go. Live, Kev.
Never better.
Not to get political, but how about that quote by Trumpy? Like, frankly, we have two countries who don't know what the fuck they're doing. Huh?
Honestly, I kind of respect it.
He's just like, it's like what every president ever wanted to say about dealing with other countries. They're just like, dude, I'm over it.
Just get your shit together. You're fucking annoying, right?
How many Big Ten coaches wish they could step to the podium at Big Ten media days? Like, what do you think about these other teams joining the conference? Well, frankly, we just have a bunch of people in leadership that don't know what the fuck they're doing. Like, how many times could KF say that
over the past 5 years with all the changes in the NCAA? Probably a lot.
Yeah, great episode last week with Quinn Schulte getting good pub. The last couple days that's been out. And he really gave you your flowers.
Yeah, I mean, it felt good to be recognized, you know.
You feel good?
A little bit.
It's not often anymore that we get that.
It's not often ever that I ever got that.
When I was playing, no one gave it to me. I think that's something that as we get past our playing days more and more, the weight of which I think, you're right. I don't want to disrespect you, but when we were playing, I think there was this like some, I don't think anybody thought of you this way, but it was very easy in your role to be like, yeah, he's a four phase special teams guy. He's a backup on defense, team captain. He does all the things right. But no one really respected that as much as like you sit now at 30 and you look back on it, you're like, fuck, this guy played all the phases and was team captain. Like, that carries weight.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I don't think the casual fan could have said, hey, do you know who Kevin Ward is?
Very few.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our names were not known. Neither of us really.
I'd say yours was known. Like, you're, you know, Miguel Racino's on the kick, Tyler Kluver the long snapper.
Sure.
Everyone knows who this long snapper is.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I deserved much recognition. I was doing a job that doesn't get called out very much. And
I think you did. I think you did. I wasn't going to give it to you.
I mean, internally, I feel like, sure. But externally, it's just like offensive linemen don't always get a whole lot of love.
No.
They're
an
extremely important job.
You're right. Saw a tweet that we had like our entire offensive line recruiting class in at once, like this past weekend on an official visit.
Yeah, I saw that picture. Those dudes look,
they're just so big,
like mooses.
They're so big.
Bunch of Clydesdales out there.
Yeah. No Grant tonight. So for all the G-bone, that was gonna sound weird. The G-bone lovers, the bone doggers. Is that his fan base, the Bone Dogs?
We should call them the Bone Dogs.
Hey, if you're part of the Bone Dogs, send us a DM. Just say, yeah, I'm in. Count me in as a Bone Dog. Grant will hate that, by the way. Who knows what he's doing? Probably real work stuff. But Kevin and Tyler show tonight. Plenty on the agenda. I've got a decent lineup for us over here. Got some exciting guests lined up for the rest of this summer. We're just trying to nail down. It feels like this is the time when everyone's just like, you know what? Let's slow her down. Us included, me included, especially with the birth of the new child. But, you know, everyone's kind of more nonchalant with like, hey, yeah, let's get a date set to record. But we're happy you're here once weekly in the summer. Check out the Facebook, the Instagram, the Twitter, the Patreon, patreon.com/washedupwalkons, the merch store, always live. think we've got you. Yeah, look at that. If you're watching the YouTube, which if you aren't, you should be, use that little QR code right there and check in with us there. And then let's see what else. That's about it. It's all the bookkeeping stuff. Kev, you weren't here. I think I said this on a Taglines with Grant. Did you hear about the guy from Chick-fil-A that listens to our podcast?
No.
Okay.
I'm excited. I'm excited where this is going.
Yeah, you should be. Should be. I got this email to our Washed Up Walk-Ons email address, washedupwalkons@gmail.com, if you want to send us something fun or inquiries like this. Really, if you've got inquiries like this, this is what we want.
Or just send Kluver hate speech. That's cool, too.
Yeah, cuss me out. Call me names. I don't care. It's not a very active email line. So the title or the subject of this email read, interested in touring the Chick-fil-A corporate headquarters in Atlanta, including unlimited Chick-fil-A sandwiches for the day?
Yeah. Yes. Very interested.
Yeah.
Keep talking.
Respond yes.
Yes.
The body of the email then reads, hey, walk-ons, I'm an Iowa alum and have been a fan of the podcast for several years. I now work for Chick-fil-A in Atlanta and have heard you mention your fondness for Chick-fil-A casually on the show a few times.
Oh, yeah.
Let me reiterate, big fan. In fact, you know, you have the kid and, you know, the coworkers and friends bring over meals every once in a while on occasion. So last week, one of our closer couple friends here in Des Moines brought us Chick-fil-A.
Nice.
And I housed two chicken sandwiches.
Those are good friends.
Great friends. Yeah. If you're ever in Atlanta or looking for an excuse to come to Atlanta, I would love to host any and all of you at our headquarters for a day. Just reach out and we'll find a time that works.
I mean, the memes about the Chick-fil-A people being the nicest workers in the restaurant gig don't go far enough because these people are incredible.
Hey, you want to come? Hey, you want to come tour the headquarters in ATL
and eat free chicken sandwiches? Yeah,
our pleasure. Our fucking pleasure. thought that was wild.
Oh man!
Of all the things this podcast has brought us, it's the things like that where you're like, "What the fuck? What is
going on?" No, that's definitely the coolest stuff by far.
It's so cool.
Yeah,
it just blows my mind sometimes.
Yeah, you know,
there's been some other things.
Labs like doing. It's just never worth thought, right?
It's crazy.
Going back to your original point on the podcast, like we've gotten way more out to the fan base through this podcast than we ever did from the playing days.
Yeah, and I'm as we get further away from the inflection point of us starting this show, I actually am a little bit confused at how we got so much momentum. I don't understand why people grabbed onto us. And maybe it was Drake in the beginning, but
a little bit, but you know, I think we got in at the good time.
Good time.
About 3 years later, everybody had a podcast. And you kind of got drowned out and you know, I feel like if we had started 3 years later, no one would have ever heard of it.
I would like to think that the product is good or at least stands out in some way, too. And that's
it's a long running show, too. So, like, you know, we've been doing it for a while. So, we've, you know, there's an old saying, quantity has a quality of its own. You do stuff enough, eventually you get decently good at it.
Oh, good quote. Good quote. Part of it is, too. Ultimately, like the consistency thing, if you want to be great at anything, you just really basically have to outlast everybody else. Because if you're the last one doing it, if you're just the longest tenured at something, you're bound to at least through that experience gain knowledge, growth, and most other people will just quit on a venture or something like that. You know, especially in podcasting, we bring up all the time, like,
and you know, maybe it's because we don't care about this enough that we don't care how well it does, so we just keep going regardless.
From the beginning, if this thing burns to the ground, we don't care. I don't care. The nice thing is too is the autonomy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because theoretically, if it burns to the ground and absolutely zero people listen, it actually doesn't affect us putting it out. Like we could still get on and no people listen to us. It wouldn't be nearly, I mean, it clearly wouldn't be as profitable and therefore worth our time, my time as much, but it's good to start something with the idea that like, hey, no filter. We do not care if anything burns us to the ground. We're doing it.
Another good saying out there. If you don't take the money, they can't tell you what to do. So
it's true.
We're not beholden to anyone. We can do whatever we want, whenever we want.
This is facts. Yeah. We got to find an excuse to go to Atlanta.
Yes, we do.
How many Chick-fil-A sandwiches could you eat today? 10?
10? You think you can only eat 10 in a day?
God, there'd be a little bit of taste fatigue.
Okay, but you can mix it up between crispy, grilled.
It's true. You're a big grilled guy. You were always trading for grilled.
I mean, crispy is more delicious. That's
hard bod Kev in college was like, yeah, dude, give me the grilled.
No, so this is what I do is I would trade one crispy for two grilled.
Oh, so you were going quantity over quality there.
Yeah.
So you were trying to get three sandwiches, basically.
Yeah, that was always the goal.
Okay.
Because, you know, this is how it'd go. It'd be
can you explain to the people what we got in our bag so that they have an idea of the trade block?
You'd get one crispy, yep, one grilled, and I don't remember what sides we get.
Fruit cup,
sure.
And the cookie or brownie.
Cookie. Boom. Yeah. So usually there's people out there who don't even want to mess with the chicken sandwich. It's like with the grilled, I will say. So like there's always like a free grilled floating out there.
Sure.
And sometimes, you know, that doesn't come to you, right? But then there's another guy next to you who got it. He's got now two grilleds and a crispy. He doesn't want to eat three sandwiches. I do. It's like, hey, you got two grilled. You only want two sandwiches. I'll give you the one crispy. So you have two of what you want. Now I have three total sandwiches, which is what we both want in the end. And that's, you know, anytime we're on a road trip, I'd say I had 90% success rate of getting three sandwiches in. That one road trip to Purdue, remember when the
I was just going
to
bring
it up. There was like a fire at some like air traffic control place, whatever. We had to drive instead of fly.
Yeah.
They doubled us up.
Yeah.
And we got four sandwiches.
Yep.
I think I ate 6 to 7 sandwiches that trip alone. So how many sandwiches could I eat in a day?
20.
I definitely could eat 20 in a day, no doubt.
The amount of sandwiches that I mean, my favorite memory specifically from post-game stuff was – I'm pretty sure it was the Indiana game in 2015, and we got on the bus, and I don't know if this was just my bag – that I happened to grab or if it was everybody, but I was blessed with two crispies.
Mm.
Yeah.
See, that was like the occasional thing too, is every now and then you got two crispies. And
because what Chick-fil-A would do is they would cater it to, you know, like kind of the back end, the players only, players, coaches, team personnel hallway. And they'd let that person come in there. And then that person would just pack the bags. And if they mispacked a bag, I would have been real pissed if it would have been too grilled.
Mm.
That might have happened to me on occasion too, but I got a too crispy one. And I just remember that was game number
nine.
And it was like every game at that point was like, oh my God, this is the first time they've been 9-0 since so-and-so. And the national media was really starting to pick us up at that point. And we're all so stoked. CJ fucking dove in the corner of the end zone. We knew that Indiana was going to score a bunch of points that game because their offense was good. And we got the dub in Bloomington. We're on the bus. And I opened my bag and I got two crispies, man. Going back to Iowa City, dude, the vibes were immaculate.
Mm-hmm.
God.
Yeah, that's a nice little cherry to that day.
It was always fantastic. Speaking of reminiscing a little bit, this came across my timeline, and it was a little trend that was going around on Twitter. It was TickPick, I guess, is the original tweeter of this, and their tweet was just name a loss that made you sit in silence for 30 minutes after the game. And so then people all, you know, they chime in with the worst loss for their team, whoever they're a fan of. This guy, Draymond Jones, tunes in, screenshots our final score against Ohio State in 2017 and tags it 30 hours, not 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So then I look into it a little more, and Draymond Jones was a D lineman, a starting D lineman on that team.
No kidding.
So this is a guy who was a part of that ass whipping nearly a decade ago. And in 2025, he's still sitting there befuddled. Just what the fuck happened to us?
I mean, we completely fucked their season.
I mean,
was a talented football team.
They were so good, man.
And you know, we just weren't a great team that year. So like,
no, we
were. It's not like that loss could be justified to the committee whatsoever. No. As like, you lost to 31 points to a 7-5 Iowa team. You're not getting in the playoffs.
Complete blemish on their
yeah. So I can imagine this kind of like just a what the fuck just happened feeling for them. And yeah, I, you know, 8 years later, I still don't know what happened.
I don't either. Well, it's funny. So I received this sort of tidbit DM and connected it to this Ohio State player still wondering what happened to them. I got this from a fan of the pod maybe a couple weeks ago and just haven't used it yet, but he said, I was just thinking the ass beating O put on Ohio State back in the day, a game that I was at and stormed the field. I just got to ask what that pop was like from the crowd when Amani took that pick in on the first play. That was the loudest single pop I've ever heard. Close second was Tavon's tutty in the Big Ten Championship. The loudest continuous roar was obviously Penn State a couple years ago.
Yeah, that was...
it was like somebody got shot. It was like that instant, like everybody at once.
First play of the game, man. Like people are already juiced.
Juiced.
Like first play of any game, like the crowd's already on their feet, right? It's like, I don't care if we give up like a 4 yard run. Okay. They're like, yeah, we got him. All right.
Yeah.
Settle into the game a little
yeah.
bit. Now. But yeah.
Always kills me at the beginning of a game when someone like stuffs a run for like 2 or 3 yards. It doesn't matter who it is. The whole crowd's like, fuck, we got these guys. They're not just going to score on us in one play, you know?
Yeah. I specifically remember in that regard is like we played Penn State earlier that year. And I think like the first play of the game, Saquon Barkley has like a 5 yard run, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Objectively, that's a loss for the defense.
Yeah. Not good.
Not good.
They do that. We're
fucking second and five down. Is not good for the defense. Crowd's like, yeah, we got him.
And honestly, good reaction because after what he did to us, 5 yards was, we were hoping for 5 yards.
But no, that was an all time pop as that fan definitely remembered well.
Yeah. I had an interesting perspective on that just because every time we score, I was required. And there's this, I've talked about it. There's this weird dynamic of like, that's potentially, I mean, if you pull a handful of plays, 5 plays from our entire career, and I don't know how many plays went down each year times 5 for us, but there's a lot of them. That's a top 5 play, like meaningful play. In our career, our 5 years. As a player, you would love to celebrate that fully. Just like let go, like, you know, fist bumping, you know, going and chest bumping people. And but I can't do that. All I want to do is run to Amani and freak out. Dogpile him in the end zone. Like all the offensive guys, or I guess in that case, the defensive guys were doing. I have to like, ideally, bring my heart rate down. Go out and perform the job that I have to do like I do every other short snap PAT field goal. And when that shit happens, Polecat being the pinnacle of that for me, I can feel my heart in my throat. It's like, boop, 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 boop. Like it is tangible. And then when you put your hands on the ball, it feels like you could throw that thing through a brick wall. And so I just remember he caught it and I'm sitting. I'm like, okay, Ohio State's got the ball. They're going to move this thing a little bit. Right. Even if our defense stops them, they're going to go for a little bit. And I'm sitting on the specialist bench way down at the end. I'm watching the play as I often did on the Jumbotron. And so I'm getting that TV view almost like Cooper's pick in the Super Bowl where you don't quite see him. The ball comes out of his hand. And then, oh, my God, our guy's stepping in front of it. And I just say I specifically remember just saying, holy shit, grabbing my helmet and walking out of the field. Man, I don't know. I feel like Tavon's tutty in the Big Ten Championship felt louder, but they're pretty close.
I was definitely more hyped about Tavon's tutty.
Yeah. Do you think butterfly effect, if Amani doesn't put the Buckeyes in a deficit on the first play of the game, do you think we still, like, that game still goes that way? Do we still just have the most unreal day ever? Or was there some sort of like belief that was sparked?
I, I honestly have no idea. I mean, Ohio State had, like, they made some plays that game too, but it just felt like everything was kind of going our way.
Yeah, well, because if you were – well, I'm, and I know you do. If you remember, everyone listening, they came out and scored in like three plays on the next
drive. Yeah, we blew a couple coverages in that first quarter.
I mean, they threw it, and I was like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But, I mean, like, Stanley was on fire. The tight ends just couldn't be stopped. Akron was making people miss.
Yeah, he was doing
his thing. You know, we were picked off JT Barrett four times. I think he fumbled another time.
Unreal.
Yeah. Who got tossed out? Wasn't Bosa, was it?
No, was it Bosa.
Was it Bosa? Yeah.
He freaking like lunged with his head at Stanley.
Like headbutt Stanley.
Like just some weird random shit that where like if that guy's in the game, it's different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, he didn't know at the time that he's going against a future all-pro tackle.
True. True. God damn, they were going against each other, huh?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, because it was Tristan and I think it was AJ. No. Who was the other tackle? It might have been AJ.
I think it was AJ. Alaric Jackson, who's got a massive contract too. He's not Wirfs level, but.
But yeah, they weren't our starting tackles that year. It was Ike,
and Boone. Ike and Boone. And we were hurt. I mean, that's part of that season. There were some injuries, and it's part of every year, but you know, injuries are so, they play such a major role. Did you catch? You probably didn't. I doubt you subscribed to The Athletic. Maybe you do. Doctorman wrote an article on KF and the changing times of Iowa football or college football, really. And, KF is in here quoted as, in some crazy way, I enjoy all the crazy stuff that's going on the last couple of years here with our game and the landscape and all that. It's almost like a challenge in some ways, almost. And then the best single part is just the people you work with, and that hasn't changed. He always comes back to that. He fucking loves the people that they have on staff there.
Hell yeah.
And he just is like, I'll do this. As long as these people are here, I'm going to keep doing it.
You know, if I go home, Mary's going to make me do some shit around the house.
Okay, well, so it goes on. It goes on because here it says, nobody can predict the future. I guess I'd say, so this is interesting. He says, I guess I would say the odds are better for me being here in 5 years from now than they were in 99 or 2000 being there 5 years from then.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that makes sense, right? Because things were not going well in 99 and 2000.
Bad first year or two. So I've kind of been on the side of like, to me, it feels like it's at any point.
I truly believe like he absolutely loves coaching the game of football.
He does.
He loves what he does. At the same time, he's never going to tell people like, oh yeah.
No. No, that's the thing. As a head coach with recruiting and all that, you're never going to let in on like, yeah, I'm thinking about it. He says, I don't know what it feels like to be 72 or 73, 74. I know what I feel like right now, and I feel pretty good. I feel like this is what I still enjoy doing. I enjoy the people I'm with every day. I don't want to speak for Mary, but she actually said that, quote, I'm not sure we're ready for, you know. That's kind of her one prerequisite. Whenever I do quit, I need to have something to go to because she doesn't want me sitting at home looking at her all day or asking her stupid questions.
You met. What does KF do in retirement? Does he just?
What the fuck does he do when he goes home? Now, I think he just watches tape. He plays with his grandkids.
I mean, he spends a lot of time at the office, so yeah.
I know.
No, I imagine KF like once and if he retires, like he's just gonna have like four big screen TVs. Yeah. And he's just gonna be watching football. He's gonna be watching football. He's gonna get like the film clicker.
Oh yeah.
One, so you can do
the
real-time rewind and yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't already have that at his house in his
home. Yeah, he 100% has that at his house. Now, I don't know if you can.
He's just watching all the games live.
I don't know if you can get it work with like YouTube TV or not. It'd be sick if you could.
It'd be so insane.
If someone find that out for me, and if so, I'm going to get it.
If you could real-time watch a game and rewind like you're watching film. Oh man.
Yeah. No.
You know, at some point it's somebody's going to put that system together. It's not going to be that hard. And it's going to be,
I don't feel like it would be, right?
You wouldn't think. Now wait for this. Now wait until they start allowing the All-22 view live. And I mean, he'll never die. He'll just be he'll just be fully engulfed in football until he's 160 years old. Can you imagine? So here's
the offer. CM is like, yeah, it's like, you know what? I'm not, you know, whenever he decides to retire, he's like, you know, the college work's gotten a little bit too much for me.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go coach high school now.
100%.
Can you not see him doing something?
Dude, 100%. I don't know where he's going to retire to, or if he's going to, maybe he stays in Iowa City. You know, when you get older, it's kind of nice to go somewhere where it's not 14 degrees for 3 months. 100% would not surprise me in the slightest if the article comes out, he's, you know, 78 years old. And it's like Kirk Ferentz comes on as special analyst to Jones High School somewhere in the middle of Florida, you know? And these players are just like, what the fuck? We got Kirk Ferentz on our staff? What is going on? I just love football, man. I just imagine Mary, like he drops these Mary quotes all the time. And I just imagine her friends bringing that back to her and she being like, oh Jesus Christ, what'd he say about me now? You know, well, how'd he name drop me this time? Yeah, it's interesting. It seems like he's a little bit invigorated, and the that's kind of how this article continues to go on. Doc, obviously great article. I don't know. Next on the agenda, Kev, is we got a shout out.
We got a shout out.
See if I can, I don't know if this is sharing. Is this sharing? Can you hear this when I play it?
Iowa boys, washed up walk-ons.
Washed up walk-ons.
Yeah, so that's Drake Kulik, who's also, I hired him to be my head of security. There's David Bakhtiari.
Stud.
He's a stud. But Wash Up Walk-Ons, they have a podcast. It's like three dudes who are all walk-ons. So that's, yeah, Ward and Kluver. He was a long snapper on the left, safety on the right. And now they just host a podcast and talk Iowa football. It's pretty funny. They do a good job with it.
Busting with the boys.
How about that?
How about it?
George just giving shouts, like, unprovoked. Now, here's a funny thing.
It's so funny. Drake's my head of security.
Well, and
I know it's legit, but it's still funny as
shit. Yeah, it is funny. So the bit is up. I don't have to speak around it now. There really was no like hard reason to not talk about it earlier, more just to kind of keep it low key. But for all those the last year and a half that Drake has been gone officially from the show, and the things that he's been doing in his life that's taking up his time, he is, in a very official way, as George said there, he is George Kittle's and really the Kittle family's head of security, personal security. And he's had to get a bunch of certifications and training and all this different stuff.
Some
hardware involved. We get plenty of pictures of those. Unbelievable gig. I mean, just the fact that George is at the level where he hires security and Drake ends up, you know, Drake's his boy. He ends up being the guy. He's kind of got the perfect skill set, the perfect life situation to do. It's just a very life is a weird thing kind of deal.
Does Drake have the perfect skill set? I would like a former cop, I think, would probably.
Well, I mean, I guess if you're, yeah, you'd like a.
Just hand to hand comment. Yeah, sure. I'll take Drake. Yeah,
sure. Yeah, no, you'd probably like a little bit more like formal weapons training.
You know, someone who's ran security before knows what to keep an eye out for in the crowd.
If you're looking at someone who doesn't have that specific piece, but you're just looking at somebody else that's like how could be the most qualified outside of the weapons, Drake's pretty close. Big guy, former athlete, knows a lot of jiu-jitsu and hand-to-hand martial art, like, you know. I still think it's funny. Drake's last name is pronounced Kulik, like Cool Whip, Kulik. And George Kittle, who is his boy, to this day still says Kulik.
I'm not going to lie. I mix it up every now and then, too.
Drake used to cuss me out when I said that.
Oh, yeah. He hated it. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's kind of disrespectful, you know. But, yeah. I still say Kulik every now and then too on an accident.
So I got a couple notifications. I'm working out yesterday. This podcast drops with Bussin. Really fun episode with George. He goes, I've got another clip of him here in a second. Have you listened to it, Kev?
No.
So you're going to love this. But this is one of those moments where a little look behind the curtain, not that this shout out from George is going to like spark us to new heights or like get us thousands of new listeners, all this stuff, but it is better to be shouted out on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast by a superstar George Kittle than not to be. And the only reason we were, and the only reason he's explaining why, who me and Kevin are, is because their producers, the guys in the back of the bus, brought up our video that we did touring George Kittle's barn gym.
Oh yeah.
Because Will, they're asking about his off-season training. They're like, hey, what do you do? He's talking about like every Monday I squat 315 for 3 reps. Like he's doing all this stuff. He's like, yeah, you got a crazy barn gym. You've got this sick property. And he's talking about how like in the off-season, there's like 15, 20 guys training in there. And so the producers, I'm sure, searched George Kittle barn gym. And the first thing that pops up when you do that is our YouTube video that has nearly 100,000 views on it.
Holy shit.
And me walking around Kittle's barn gym for like 8 minutes.
I think I just wandered off in the middle of that somewhere.
Yeah, you probably did. And so they bring that up, and that's why George is kind of explaining like, hey, that's Kluver. That's calls you a safety in there.
I was at one point a safety.
You were.
I was a safety for longer than I was a linebacker, technically. I'm back at safety weight, so.
Sure. What are you, 205, 210?
210. I really got to drop weight, though.
Why?
Triathlon. Tough to run triathlons in at football weight.
Oh, certainly. Doable. To run them fast, that's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough. It's kind of a personal thing. It feels good to have that much mass.
It does.
And eat that much, too.
I like eating a lot.
Eating's good. Yeah. Did you see Power Clean 350?
I did see it. It looks smooth, dude.
Yeah, kind of crazy. I don't know what's happening. I've been talking about it. I'm on less sleep than I have been in years because of the new baby. Recovery's down. Training volume is lower than it's been in 3 years. And I've hit a snatch and a power clean PR in the last 10 days. 280 snatch and a 350 power clean.
280 snatch, dude. That's more impressive to me, honestly.
Wild. I mean, numbers that I never thought I'd hit. And like now at 30 years old,
I haven't snatched in years. I'll hang clean very rarely. Like I've probably hang cleaned maybe 3 times this year.
Yeah. I mean, obviously as part of CrossFit, cleans are a big part of that. But I never even the most weight I ever put on the bar at Iowa was 315. I did it for 3 reps, 3 hang clean reps with straps. I power cleaned, no straps, 350.
Is that even an Olympic bar that you're doing that, or is that just?
It's not an Olympic bar, but it is a nice Rogue multi-purpose barbell.
Okay.
So it's not some cheapo. It's like
It's not the $800 USACA bars we were cleaning with at Iowa.
Dude, if I had a USACA, I might be able to get 3 and the 25s on there, 365. I quit after that rep. I didn't even attempt a higher weight, like. I'm pulling weights that I have never pulled. Shout out Nick DeMarco for the programming elite. Anyway, yeah, crazy. Let's see. And then, so we went down there. Remember he tells us about that Vasper machine?
Yeah.
It's like a recumbent bike, but it like hooks you up to like, it looks very weird. If you're listening to the show, search Vasper, VASPER. This is George, and I don't know if we'll get flagged for this, but I'm going to post it anyway. This is George talking about doing that machine.
That's like my cardio every day at the end of my workout. So like I'll lift, I'll run my routes, run hills, and then I do like a 20-minute Vasper session 4 days a week, no matter what.
No shit.
I love it. You feel, dude, it knocks you the fuck out at night. Unconscious. Really? You sleep so well and you have wild dreams too. It's awesome.
Vasper systems doing a whole bunch of different things.
I mean, yeah, I'm not. The main selling point is you blow huge loads.
Oh, for real?
Dude, he he's just going full unedited. Like, I'm sitting there listening to this in my garage. There's like people walking to the mailbox to get their mail, and George just drops the, yeah, you just blow huge loads, man.
I love George for the very fact that he's gotten extremely famous,
yeah,
wealthy, popular, and he is as true to himself as he has ever been.
Oh, yeah. Because he's to be frank, I mean, he's 8 years in the league. I think this is going to be his ninth. Is that correct? This might be his 10th, actually. He would have graduated in 16. 17 was his first year, so 25 will be his ninth. Okay. So if he makes it two more years, he'll have a decade in the league. They talk about it in the Bustin podcast. Total lifetime earnings after this contract is fully paid out is like $156 million or something like that. $150 million. Now, California taxes, that hurts.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to see after federal, state, local agent. Yeah, you're coming back with like 40% of that.
Maybe 40%. And hey, 40% of 150 is still very much $60 million, right? And you can do a lot with that, especially when you go to invest it and just let it kind of accrue interest. And I'm sure George has plenty of, you know, diversified investments. He's kind of to that point of like, fuck you money, fuck you status. Like, he can say what he wants, pretty much do what he wants inside the parameters of like what's respectful as a human. And if he says something a little wild, like the Vasper machine that he does cardio workouts on causes him to blow huge loads on a huge podcast, no one's really going to, he's going to get, no pun intended, he's getting no blowback on that.
Yeah. He just has to not fall off like Kanye did. And he's good,
man. Kanye drops
like anything up to that. Like he's all right. Right. And
yeah.
And I know everyone's definition of fuck you money is different, but the guy doesn't have to work a day in his life, the rest of his life.
No.
His children don't. Like,
nobody in his family ever has to if he invests that, right?
Theoretically, you have infinite money now.
Right.
Yeah. So,
when do you have infinite money, by the way?
When you can live on 4% of it.
Like on the 4% rule, if it's sort of based off of your lifestyle, right? Because if your lifestyle that you live and you would like to live requires you spending $2 million, $2 million is 4%. That's a large number. But like, if you can live off 200 grand a year,
I think most people can do that. I think most people can get by with that. Yeah.
There is theoretically a point with money when you become an adult where you're like, man, if I just like, you could see the horizon and you're like, it's there. If I just kind of keep doing this, it's there. Tight end, you going on right now. I'm sure you've seen a couple clips from that, a couple things. That's why he's on the bus, I think, is because, you know, Bustin's down at tight end you as well. Two nights ago, as of recording this on the 25th, I see a Snapchat story late at night because I'm up doing two or three feeds a night right now with the baby. It's like two, three in the morning. And as I've got the bottle in Brooks's mouth, throw up my Snapchat, see what's going on. And there's a story with Kittle and Taylor Swift. It's just Kittle and Taylor at a bar, and their Taylor song is on the radio or on the DJ, and they're just singing it, just full on belting it.
I completely forgot that Taylor Swift is still dating Travis Kelce, right?
Sure is. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So they okay, that makes sense.
And I'm like, what a life. I mean, Taylor Swift is.
We were invited to that party last year.
We were invited to that party 2 years ago,
and we didn't go.
We didn't go. We're
assholes.
Assholes and dumb and yeah. More things. And so I like, you know, you quickly piece two and two together, like, yeah, Travis and Greg Olson and Kittle are the ones who put this on. Travis is Taylor's significant other. So, you know, they're in Nashville, big music city. Makes sense. And then at the official like night out at the bar that they rent, she steps in last night and just performs. She just straight up gets on stage. This is how big Tight End U is now. Is Taylor's just doing an impromptu fucking concert at Tight End U. Rocking out too, by the way. Pretty sick.
That's freaking awesome.
Now, here's a question about Taylor Swift. She's about our age. I think we're maybe
a little older than us.
She's a few years older than us, but you know, we grew up with her as like, she was one of the pop icons. It was like her and Bieber, right? Is she attractive or just famous?
What?
Is she attractive or just famous? This is a fun game that you can play with like famous people who are like,
are you trying to get me in trouble right now?
You can't comment on other people's attractiveness?
My wife is the only attractive person in the world.
It makes me want to hurt myself. I'll move on.
What is your take on that?
I think it's somewhere in between. I don't think she's a not attractive person, but I think that her fame and her social stature certainly adds to like, oh my God, that's Taylor Swift.
I mean, but I think I'd she's say good attractiveness looking. And physical beauty are two separate things.
This is true. You're right. But one is still a part of the other.
No doubt. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's just wild. She's like quite literally, I don't know. Is she a top five famous person on earth? Maybe at one point, certainly within music. I mean, her fan base is quite literally the biggest cult following of a music fan base ever.
Yeah. I mean, man, I guess you just don't know, like, who do other cultures think are like the most famous people?
That's what I think. She plays well, like, internationally.
Like you know, China and India together are like a third of the world's population. Who do they think are famous?
Yeah, do they even care about Taylor? I don't know. Yeah. Going back to linebacker talk, of which you were a linebacker, well established. Iowa picks up the number one and number two linebackers in the class of 26 this past week.
In the country?
No. In the state.
Oh. I was about to say, what the fuck?
Now, hold on. Julian Manson.
Related to Charles?
God, no. Thank Jesus he's not. Jason Manson, who we had on the show, works on staff, backed up Drew Tate in 2006. His son plays for West with Mason Woods, who is also committed as a Hawkeye.
He is a Hawkeye.
Absolute unit. Or no, yeah, he officially is a Hawkeye.
He is a Hawkeye, and he will be a top three round draft pick.
Yeah.
You can quote me on that.
Julian Manson is a year younger, so he's got a senior year left in high school. He's the number one rated linebacker in the state of Iowa, number six rated linebacker in the country. This other kid's name is Kaysen Thomas.
I can work with that.
Oh, yeah, he could work with that. The other one is from Bishop Heelan over on the, what is that, the west side of the state? And he's the number two linebacker in the state. I don't think he's as highly rated nationally, but he's also, they're both four-star athletes, which is four more stars than we had.
Dude, so 6'4"? Jeez.
Kaysen Thomas?
Julian Manson.
Oh, yeah, Manson's huge.
He's going to be a defensive end by the time he's done.
Probably, yeah.
I guess Campbell's really tall.
6'5".
Yeah.
Not a bad deal to get the two best linebackers in the state, by the way. Within like 3 days of each other. Maybe even less.
Same class?
I believe they're both in the 26 class. Yeah, so they're going into their senior year.
You're going to have another fun little duo there, aren't we?
You just, Coach Wally Bear is just sitting back going, oh, yeah, we got some more.
Can't wait to get my hands on these guys and coach them up.
A couple guys that are going to make me continue to look like the best linebacker coach in America. Because he is. He also is.
Yeah, I mean, you could objectively look at the stats and the guys that he brings in. And, I mean, yeah.
Dude, the linebacker lineage is fucking insane, dude. I don't even know if I can show this on I can't show this on YouTube. So I can't, man. Can I send this to you? I wanted to bring this up, but I can't show that. There's a track meet going on in Ostrava? I don't know where it's at. The caption just says Chris Robinson from the US had to deal with his privates constantly coming out of their holder at today's 400 meter hurdles in Ostrava. It is a shot from the finish line of him coming down the home stretch. And his cock and balls are just falling out of his shorts, dude. And he's trying to put them back in like Chris Jones on his 40 yard dash, but his dick keeps falling out, bro. And you can just see it flopping around. And he still won the race. 48.05.
That's pretty damn good.
Hold on.
You ever have that problem, Clue?
No. No. I've never fallen out of anything. Send via direct message to Kev. Oh, yeah. We'll just edit this part out. I need you to watch the tweet that I just sent you. Did you get it?
Yeah. All right. Well, this is awkward. Chris Watson had no feeling.
Dude, it's unreal. It's unreal. Everybody go watch this that's listening. Search Gary Al Smith is the
and then he does a somersault.
Dude, he somersaults to like kind of cover up his dick on the finish line.
All right, so it makes more sense now. He's in those super short shorts.
Oh,
instead of the track suits.
Yeah,
but still, come on, dude,
unbelievable. dude, I mean, never had that issue in my life. Last topic for the night, and this is what we sort of talked about when Drake filled in for you a couple weeks ago. I just wanted to get your take on it, though. Is the estimate for what we're going to get from the rev share, $20.5 million that the entire athletic department is going to get, is somewhere between $14 and $15
million. For the football team?
For football. On top of that, I don't know what the Swarm is going to be able to pump out. It seems like everything is so diluted now, but let's say the Swarm is able, you know, Brad and the Swarm, we'll get Brad back on here before the season. Let's say they're able to add another $5 million a year. So the football team every year, Iowa Hawkeyes, they have $20 million to spend. Now, absent of the conversation that you and I could have of like, holy shit, the amount of money we could have made, right? Because even the guys that aren't that cool, like we talked about how our names weren't that well known. Because of the system that Iowa set up, the older players, the ones who start, they get money, dude. They fucking get money.
Yeah, I mean, you do $20 million divided by 105, and that's close to $200,000.
Now, obviously,
not everyone's getting that, so
right.
We're getting a lot more. But
And so that's my question to you, and I kind of – the math I did here was I went to the NFL, and I searched what the average the average team's position percentage of the cap was to see what to see what the ratio was of how an NFL team divvied up their 100% of the pie.
Yeah.
The offensive line took the biggest chunk with
most players. Sure.
With, I don't know. I didn't tally the exact number of the NFL salary cap, but it equaled out to what would be, oh, no, that's percentage. 21% was the offensive line's chunk.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Which would equal about $4.2 million for the Hawks.
Across. You have like 20 guys.
Yeah. So it's about 21% for 20% of the team. In that math, each guy's getting like 200 grand.
Yeah, it's still 200 grand. Yeah.
The wide receivers were next.
Really? I guess it's still a big position group.
12.6%, followed very closely by the – now, this is broken up into interior D-line and edge.
Okay.
So if you want to count the entire D-line as a whole unit, they actually are above the offensive line.
I guess that kind of makes sense. DNs command a lot of money.
Yeah.
But so do the offensive tackles, and there's five out there. I guess.
So in the NFL, the average cap between the interior and the edge totaled just under, basically right at 23%. Offensive line, 21%. That was split 11.8 to the interior and 11.1 to the edge. Cornerback was at 9.4%. Quarterback was at 9.2%. Safety at 7.3%. Linebacker, 7.1%. Tight ends got about 5% of the cap. Running backs got 4.8, and then the specialists got what was left, which was about 1% of the cap for all three positions. And it comes out to some interesting equivalence when you divvy that out of a $20 million pie. This would mean if we took, and this is not how teams work, and it's sort of the question that I'm leading you to, Kev. Because some team, you know, depending on who you've got, who you develop, you're going to pay your quarterback more. Obviously, we're paying Gronkowski a shitload this year. I've heard $2 million. That's 10% of our entire team's money in one guy. We need a quarterback. We decided we're done with the fucking quarterback bullshit.
Well, you think about it. You said what in the NFL is 9%?
Correct.
With of that 9%, probably 8 of that 9% is going to one guy.
Going to the starter, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. About $4 million for the offensive line, $4.5 million for the defensive line, $2.5 million for the wide receivers, $1.8 million for the cornerbacks and quarterbacks. Safeties get $1.5 million total, as well as linebackers. Tight ends get right around $1 million combined. Running backs get about $1 million combined, and then the specialists, all three combined, total about $200K in the $20 million.
See, the thing that's different with this from the NFL, though, is you have to recruit with money.
Yeah.
So you're not necessarily paying the starters.
Yeah.
I mean, you are paying the starters, obviously, otherwise they will leave. But you have to pay the backups like they're starters sometimes. A lot for like the high recruits, you will.
And it makes it interesting because in a NFL team, because the roster is so small and everybody means something, basically, it's a little bit more even across the board. I mean, there's still some drastic discrepancies, but like the way that Iowa does it, if you're a freshman who doesn't play, you're third, fourth, fifth on the depth chart, you're getting almost nothing. Versus if you're one of those guys who has been recruited and pulled from the transfer portal, again, you're having to use that money to get them there. Or it's a guy who they're trying to retain, right? I don't think Dunker was just sitting there with an empty inbox this offseason, you know?
Right.
And the Hawkeyes, Tyler Barnes, KF, they're like, well, fuck, we really like Jennings Dunker at tackle for us. We'd like to keep him. That's going to cost money. How do we break that up? How does Iowa break that up? What do we do? Who gets the most money? Who should the Hawks spend money on? Drake had his answer. He said, I'd go buy an offensive line.
I 100% agree. Start with the offensive line. We did the Hawkeye draft of the 2010s. I start with the offensive line.
Yeah.
You need an offensive line. You need a quarterback. And you can build a decent team around that.
I think you have to view it in a way where, and you can kind of like see the examples on our current team. At wide receiver for us, who is third, if you take away the offensive line, the defensive line, they're the next biggest group in this theoretical chunk. I think that has to be less for us because
maybe you go get one guy, you go pay one guy.
One guy, and then you kind
you have like you get the other guy some money, but you know, you go one big guy.
And what you do is you almost take a chance on a guy who's like, no one else is really trying to go after, but hey, you did your research. You feel good about this guy. He could become something, but his value is not enough where he's going to burn you in the pocketbook. And you just hope that you can hit and develop. Like development is a huge key here. Because if you can develop out of guys who you have on roster for cheap, now you're cooking.
Well, I mean, that's playing money ball, right?
Right.
You're just playing money ball. Otherwise, you can... You know, you can go spend on a guy who maybe comes from a 1AA school or a group of five conference team. You're like, hey, we've seen this guy. He plays at the D1 level and he plays pretty damn good. Let's go. He's going to be our guy next year. We'll spend some money on him. Or even not even group of five, you know, someone from the ACC or Big 12 that can't get as much money as they can.
Sure.
SEC, you know.
Tight end is an interesting one to me. I thought it was interesting, you know, 5% of the total cap about in our scenario out of 20 million, just over $1 million total. To our tight end.
Most tight NFL teams have what, four tight ends on roster?
Yeah. And I look at that as a position for the Hawks. Like, hey, we've got that tight end you kind of reputation right now. Like, are we able to kind of recruit a little bit more by reputation and less cash?
Yeah, for sure.
Because that's our thing. Like, hey, come to Iowa. You might not get as much as somebody else will pay you, but look what happens to Iowa tight ends. That's got to be a factor as well. It's such a crazy game, though, that Tyler Barnes is playing right now.
Yeah, no, I don't envy the position whatsoever. I mean, his whole house has to just be whiteboards, and he's just writing stuff on like the wall.
It's Charlie Day in the break room with the fucking strings going every, like, it's that meme. It's wild.
Yeah,
I think the long snappers should get more, honestly.
More than 1%?
As much as you can give them.
No, I think you're right, though. You know, if you're looking at your recruitment as like a holistic thing, it's like, hey, I don't like these coaches. I don't really like the culture there. I don't love the stadium, the fans, the facilities, but they're offering me a shit ton of money. You got my attention, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Versus this other school is like, I like the coaches, like the environment, facilities. I like what they've done with the coaching at the position. Those players have gone on to do well, but they're not offering as much money. Yeah, I think any rational recruit would take that into account, right?
I was listening to this is a little bit abstract, but I was listening to Addie Deal, who is Addison Deal, who's the big recruit coming in, just came in, is now at Iowa, in Iowa City, working out with the women's basketball team. 5-star, top 10 in the country, will most likely start and be a major factor for the women's basketball team this upcoming year. And she had a lot of opportunity. And in women's basketball now, they're getting a little chunk of change too from some schools. And she was talking about how even before Caitlin Clark went nuts and did what she did at Iowa, she was interested in Iowa because of a little bit of what Gustafson and them had built sort of towards the end of our time, Bluter, and just the fan base in Iowa City. And I started to think, like, man, these kids are at a point where they don't even understand what that money, the difference in money is. They're like, oh, what's 800,000 versus $1.2 million versus $1.5 million? They're getting so much money
the
thrown at them.
Same as $400,000 versus zero. It's 400,000.
No, actually, that's much different. The difference between zero and 400K is drastically worse.
Not in an absolute sense.
You're right, but in the relative sense. But these kids are getting so much money thrown at them that they're now circling back around to, okay, now what am I really interested in? Like, I'm going to get a lot of money wherever I go. What's the best fit for me? How do the coaches' relationships, how have those been built in the recruiting process? Like, it is wild to me. Like, they actually have – like, you and I didn't have these decisions to make, dude. It was like, can I get one offer? No. Hey,
can I come play for your football team?
Will you let me in the back door? Can I have a key card? I'll just fucking scrap until I earn my way in. Which, by the way, again, and we're at the end of this podcast. I started it with a Trump quote. Again, not to get political. I couldn't help but think, Kev, though, that if you had gone to the Air Force.
Captain Ward here on Operation Midnight Hammer. Could have been.
Can you imagine 37 hours in a B-2 bomber and you're just dropping freedom bombs, baby?
Freedom bombs on some terrorists. Yeah,
I legit, I had the thought, Kev, the other night. This was another late night thought. 3 a.m, I'm feeding my kid. And I thought to myself, I'm just seeing this shit about Israel and Iran come across my Twitter feed. And I'm like, holy fuck. There is a non-zero chance that if Kevin takes that scholarship at Air Force, he's 30 years old, highly ranked in the Air Force right now, and he's the motherfucker that just went over in that B-2.
The crazy thing is those guys just landed back in Missouri and probably went to their kids' soccer game the next day.
Got a little – they picked up some KFC or something, you know?
Yeah.
Got some Chick-fil-A on the way home, right?
Another day at the office.
Hey, just
– hey, honey, I'm home.
Took a little flight. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's our hour.
Man, yeah. You come to some huge divergence in your path in your life, like one road versus the other.
Yeah.
That was a huge one.
Big.
Yeah. My life would look nothing like it looks like right now.
No, I mean, I'm sitting there thinking, like, my God, I think Kevin would have been the guy. Like, I convinced myself that if Kevin Ward accepts a scholarship to Air Force in the summer of 2000 or the spring of 2013, no, in the spring of 2012, the summer of 2012, whatever.
No, it would.
Or when in the spring of 2013.
Yeah, yeah, we're the class of 2013. Yeah.
Spring of 2013.
Let's see. I wouldn't have redshirted, so I would have graduated in
16.
I would have graduated in spring of 17. I would not have played the 2017 season.
Ah, sure.
And then I would have been in for, I think it was 5 years stint after that. So I could have been out by now, but
could have been.
You know me.
Unless
once I get into something, I just kind of go along with it. You know,
sure.
I just kind of suck it up and just
ride. We'll just ride it out.
I know this. I'm doing this. This works. You know.
Yeah. Because if you change, you have to figure it out. So you might as well just stay.
I don't like doing that. I just like, you know, if I stick with this, it'll keep getting better and better and better.
Sure.
And in my life experience, it's been that way. Right?
Yeah.
You know, Iowa football.
Could it have gotten
at first? Got better, 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 better. Didn't want to leave. You know.
Could it have gotten better and better from 2017 to where 2025? Freedom bombs.
Totally would have sent you guys some Snapchats, but I wouldn't.
But the problem is I wouldn't have known you. That's the whole thing. So now we wouldn't have had this fun hypothetical because technically
I would have sent my Air Force buddies equivalent of you guys.
Right.
Snapchats.
It's like, hey, we're pulling up.
Pulling up to the crib.
Now imagine this in a totally opposite worldview. Is the guy who, or is there a guy on that B-2 that just dropped a bomb on the Iranian nuclear
facility? That took my spot at Air Force?
That could have actually been an Iowa Hawkeye safety.
Probably not.
No, probably not.
But there's definitely a guy who could have been on that B-2 that went to the Air Force Academy because they had a scholarship available because I didn't take it. That's possible.
Sure. That's possible. Yeah. Crazy. Crazy to think about.
World, yeah. You ever like get into the idea that there's infinite parallel universes with
I understand.
Wrap your mind around, but I don't know if I actually put any stock into it, and I don't think it's even worth putting any stock.
No, I don't think it is either. I understand the theory and the logic behind it. It does. It kind of blows my mind. The infinite, whatever that's called, the infinite theory, where like there's another universe where my life has gone exactly the same, except for the only thing that's different is you and I don't do a podcast tonight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like all the other trillion, bajillion details, it all happens, but just one is off, right? I don't know if I think it, when it comes to like the philosophical, like what is life? How are we on this planet? Like what is the conscience of ourselves? I think I subscribe more to the like the simulation theory, where like there's some pretty good
don't say evidence.
Not evidence, but there's some pretty good. Can you imagine if I
please don't say evidence?
Can you imagine? Can I imagine if I hit you with there's some pretty good evidence we're in a fucking simulation right now? I have.
I'm like, all right, this podcast is done.
No, there's some pretty good like thought behind if we were ever going to get to the point where we could just plug in like the Matrix to the back of our head and we just are running a simulation. If there's a road to getting there eventually, how would we, like, it's probable that we would have already gotten there in society and we're already in that simulation. That's basically the theory behind it. So hopefully when we unplug, we're both in the same spot and like we can still hang out. But I don't know. We went from fucking George blowing huge loads to freedom bombs and simulation theory. That's what you get. Thanks everybody for joining us. Hope that's what you wanted in this hour long podcast. If it's not, sorry. We'll be back next week. See you then. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.